Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Some fun topics today and important things. We always try to cover important things here on Faith and Family. Something new and fun and helpful, providing hope and healing for those affected by disaster, especially for kids. We're going to talk about a new program called Camp Courage. Hope you can stick around for that conversation. And in the second half, we'll learn about young adult servant events through Office of National Mission Youth Ministry here at the International Center that are coming up very early this summer, in just a few weeks. So hope you can stick around for those as well. Joining me in studio today, a great crowd. We have our friends from LCMS Disaster Response, the Reverend Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster. Good morning, Pastor Johnson.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to have you in studio. And your partner in disaster response, the manager for LCMS Disaster Response, the Reverend Michael Meyer. Pastor Meyer, welcome.
Thanks, Andy. Good to be here.
Good to have you in studio this morning, and looking forward to learning about Camp Courage. And also with us in studio today, Gail Politz, educator and editor, and chief editor for the curriculum for Camp Courage. Gail, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here and talk about Camp Courage.
Glad to have you here on Faith and Family. I think it's the first time
it is
in
for
studio.
Me.
Wonderful. Glad to have you here. And welcoming back to Faith and Family, Leah Siva King with Mission Advancement for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Leah, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks.
See, it wasn't so bad last time. She accepted my invitation to come back on the air. We always have fun when we're in the studio here on Faith and Family, talking about new things and something new. Camp Courage. I'm excited to share this. When I first got the information about it, someone sent me the email, or I saw it on the LCMS page and the We Raise page, and was so excited. This is really neat. Pastor Johnson, where did the idea for Camp Courage begin?
Well, a lot of people realize that LCMS Disaster Response does a lot of response work. So when a tornado or an earthquake or a flood or a hurricane hits a community, we go in with volunteers that we've trained and how to help out in a community after there's a disaster. We even give a lot of grants, substantial amounts of grants. But one thing that we do is we create materials and resources for training. And we've done a lot of that in the past. We've made training manuals for pastors, for school teachers, for volunteers that just want to be helpful in a time of disaster. But one thing we haven't done in the past is create a resource for children and how to help children. And I remember it just like it was yesterday. About 2 years ago, I was talking with Pastor Tom Heron, who I know you've had on the air before. He was a pastor of a church in Illinois, and the town was completely devastated. And the church was great at doing all kinds of outreach programs into the community. And he asked me, he said, Pastor Johnson, do you know of a resource that we could use for children, something that the LCMS endorses, something that's LCMS? And I scratched my head and I talked with Reverend Meyer. I said, no, I don't know of any kind of camp or materials for children that have gone through a disaster. And he was passionate because he had been a director of Christian education before he went to seminary, working with children full time. And he said, the synod needs to do something for children. And I said, Tom, you're absolutely right. And so for the last 2 years, we've been working on developing Camp Courage, or what's become Camp Courage. And I had a couple of things that I wanted to make sure that Camp Courage did. One, I wanted the material to be something that any LCMS pastor would feel comfortable using, meaning that it would reflect our doctrine and our theology as LCMS Lutherans. And then secondly, I want it to be high quality material, something that has a good layout, something that's well written, something that's well done. Because if we're going to do something for children, which definitely need ministry, because tragically, children are often forgotten. We take care of a family's needs as far as getting them back into their house. We do counseling services and things like that, but we really haven't offered anything for children. So we wanted to do something that was well done. So I talked with Pamela Nielsen, Deaconess Pamela Nielsen, who has worked in the past for Concordia Publishing House, has a lot of experience working with children. I said, we need the best writer that we can find. And she said, I know exactly the person, and it's Gail. And we have Gail here today, and she'll talk about the writing of it. But we also put together some of the best graphic designers so that we have that integrity to a great program, a great layout. Reverend Michael Meyer, the manager for disaster response, spent a lot of time going through each of the Bible studies, making sure from a pastor's perspective that any pastor in the LCMS would be comfortable hosting this in their congregation. Now, the audience is, of course, not only our own children that have gone through a disaster, but also the children of the community. And this would be a VBS-style program that would be put on by the congregation or maybe a neighboring LCMS congregation. Mm-hmm. And it would be for the children of the church and the children of the community to come in. And that's part of the outreach after a disaster, right? So as mercy flows out into the community, we let people know this is one of the things that we can do to help. And then we invite those people into the church because a lot of times after a disaster, they don't only need physical help, but they need spiritual help. And there's a spiritual element that we as the church can respond to that the Red Cross, Salvation Army, and all those other organizations can't respond to. FEMA does a great job and they're very helpful after a disaster. But as the church, we can offer that spiritual care. And that's what Camp Courage does.
Pastor Meyer, as a pastor, as a father, and one who works in disaster response, and I know you've traveled out to various locations to help local congregations when they're in the wake of a disaster, you know, in the aftermath of a disaster. Why is it important to, Pastor Heron had mentioned to Pastor Johnson, why is it important to reach out to kids, to provide hope and healing for them?
Well, I think Ross touched on it just briefly, that children oftentimes are overlooked after a disaster. We want to say that they're resilient, that they're going to bounce back and not be affected in the way that their parents are. But the truth is they are affected the way their parents are. And a lot of those signs and symptoms, they're overlooked, or we might chalk them up to something else, you know, a behavioral issue or something like that. And I think Gail really did a wonderful job picking out certain Bible stories that are both well known by so many children inside the church and outside the church, frankly, and yet still do a great job of teaching comfort to these young children. So we go through the nativity stories in Luke chapter 2. We have Jesus stilling the storm and calming the storm for the disciples who were scared in Mark chapter 4. We have Jesus healing Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. There's Jesus the Good Shepherd and from John 10 and Psalm 23. So we get some of those very well-known passages. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he brings us this peace and comfort, even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of storms. And then finally, we have kind of a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus bringing comfort to his disciples as they've gone through losing him and then not fully knowing what's in store next. And so Jesus then appears to them. He brings them comfort and peace. And so I want to commend Gail for picking out just wonderful Bible stories here and writing such a great program overall. And I, as a father, as a pastor, again, no qualms about this program. I would love that if my children were to have gone through a devastating a disaster or something like that, I think they would grow immensely from a program like this.
Gail, when they first approached you with the idea, this big daunting task, what were your thoughts?
I was eager, but overwhelmed, really. it was a huge task, and I was very humbled that they asked me. So there was a lot of prayer and a lot of a lot of research and thinking, and I certainly wanted to have a lot of Jesus stories in this curriculum. And so I went from there, Jesus in every lesson. I wanted the kids to have nuggets of things that they would remember, Bible verses that they would experience, that you know, they would skip rope to or whatever to mm-hmm. remember them, things to repeat. They would learn Luther's morning prayer. They would experience the Lord's Prayer. They would find joy, healing, helpers. Those were the things that I was wanting for them. And dynamic learning. So learning in groups, learning in small settings, learning through art, journaling, all those things, bringing together.
How did you draw on your years of experience as an educator and an editor with, you know, you were with, I believe you said with Concordia Publishing House for 15 years.
Right. And all of that, being a curriculum writer is strengthened by being a classroom teacher, which I taught almost every grade level. So when I write, I'm in the classroom in my head and what will work and what won't work. Some of the things that we looked at previous to this curriculum were not really easy to I guess you'd say, just do, because there would be reading scripts for plays that non-readers would be asked to do. And so as an educator, you just have to think about small groups. What can they do? How can older kids help younger kids? Those kinds of things. So, mm-hmm. And as I taught for many years, I can see the kinds of things that stick with children. So what could they recall later in life? Hymns, songs, Bible verses, those kinds of things.
What were the key themes that you really wanted the children to walk away with from Camp Courage?
I think they're really said well in this brochure that I was handed. I wanted them to see the gifts that God had given them. So we start with Christmas, the biggest yes we have, that God is for us. He sent his own son. So let's stop, let's pause, let's look at what we have. And we have Christ, and from him flows everything else. So I wanted them to know that. I wanted them to know where to go in trouble. So pray. Go to seek God's help. I wanted them to have resiliency skills. What do we do? What things do we think? What resources do we use? And then the idea of the Good Shepherd is so powerful for children. We know from research it's one of the strongest images for them. So that was a definite in there. And then lastly, in the story of the Emmaus disciples, I wanted them to know that we do continue to question what's going on, but we do know where to go. We go to the Savior, and from there we find strength and hope and healing for the future. And so those were the things I wanted kids to remember.
And certainly good things, all bringing us back to the Word of God. As you said, those little nuggets that they can carry with them.
Right.
That reminds them of the good news of Jesus, wherever they are.
Right. And they're making concrete things to take back with them, like a comfort and courage bag. And, they're always building these things that they can go to if they get afraid again. They're experiencing puppets. A puppet has this magical way of talking about things that children may be puzzled by but not able to articulate. And then through the person working with the puppet can bring out, and the leader can bring out, solutions or helpful tips. So that's all tied in to the curriculum too.
Well, let's talk about the audience, the children that may be attending Camp Courage. Some of the things that they might be facing. I mean, some of them may have gone through very traumatic experiences. How do you approach that? How do you approach Do you approach topics of disaster or fear or even trauma? How do you approach that with children who have experienced something perhaps so traumatic?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm the expert on this, but I'll tell you what we did. We put a therapist will be there for the entire week helping. Everyone who works there will be trained so that when if a trainer observes a child having a problem, they can help. Yes, to answer your first question, I do think that we do need to let children talk about all these things that are troubling them. We do need to give them space. They may not even, have the words to say what's bothering them. We need to be there for the entire family. And all the dynamics there. We need to provide formal and informal settings. So there's an option for breakfast together. There's an option for lunch at the end. There are field trips as options in the afternoon. So, yeah, we do talk about what happened.
One of the things that we focus on as a church responding in a time of a crisis is what the church does best. It gives spiritual care. And what does our spiritual care as Lutherans revolve around? I would say it revolves around Scripture, the Word of God, our catechism, and our hymnal. That reminds us that there is a strong refuge for us, a sure place of comfort, and that's found in Christ. We also, in the curriculum, we had a counselor, a trained psychologist, go through it and make sure that what we were putting together was helpful for children particularly. I do agree that there is a time and a place for trained counselors. And our recommendation is to parish pastors, whenever a disaster strikes, to have counselors, trained therapists, at their disposal to give references to families that have gone through a tragedy. Because there are limitations that a congregation, church, or a pastor has for substantial counseling needs. The vast majority of situations, I think comfort from God's word is what the community, the Christian church needs. But there are rare circumstances where we recommend the pastor have referrals on hand to counselors that they trust that will work alongside of him for some deeper issues that might have arisen. So the primary reason for putting this together is not to give psychological counseling, but rather comfort from God's word. And I think that's what this camp really excels at. There's other programs out there that focus much more on the psychology of it, but what we're trying to do is get that niche through our congregations of God's word, catechism, and hymnals, or our hymnody to give spiritual comfort.
Who might make use, and to whom is this available, the Camp Courage curriculum?
This VBS-style program, we're making available free of charge to congregations whose community has gone through disaster. So this would not be a program just that any church in the synod would use. It's not written or intended for that. It's really if there's been a tornado, a hurricane, a flood, a wildfire, something like that that's affected the community, has affected the children in the community, that would be a congregation that we would want to utilize this program in.
So how is this made available to congregations who have been affected by a disaster like that?
So when a congregation's community has gone through a crisis or some severe tragedy, they can contact our office, or we would contact those congregations and let them know about Camp Courage. We're going to be putting some publicity materials on our website so that people know more about the program. But they can always contact us directly. We have a Facebook page, lcms.org/disaster is our website. But we also have a Facebook site, LCMS Disaster Response on Facebook. And liking and subscribing to that will also get them access to a lot of our materials and curriculums and our email address.
Well, I think the first place that, one of the first places I found out about Camp Courage is through the We Raise website. Tell us about a little bit about why We Raise is a fundraising effort. Why is it important to raise funds? What are the funds going to be used for this project?
I can answer that.
Thanks, Leah.
Sure. We Raise is a website by Wheat Ridge Ministries, which is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And there are lots of crowdfunding sites out there. It can be used to raise funds for anything. For one guy I heard used it to come up with a great potato salad recipe. Well, Wheat Ridge Ministries recognized that they could do things a little bit differently, and they could post projects and ask social groups online to fund programs and events, but with a Christian aspect to it, and specifically with Wheat Ridge to have a health and wellness aspect to it. And so Camp Courage is a perfect fit for this setup. And so the project is currently live. There are 27 days left to hit the overall goal of $6,430. It's very simple to make a donation. Just go to weraise.wheatridge.org. It's a $1 minimum pledge, and there's a video, there's all kinds of photos. You're told specifically how you can help at certain levels, and it's very simple. It's such an exciting project.
Now, the way that We Raise works, you know, we have a set goal to raise for Camp Courage, and we have 27 days left to meet that goal. If we don't meet that goal, then none of the pledges are collected, correct?
That's correct. The deal with crowdfunding is it's an all or nothing approach. So either you hit the goal and the funds are received, or 27 days come and go and that's it.
So we've got some work to do in the next 27 days.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, one of the reasons why we're wanting to raise funds for this Camp Courage is because when a community has gone through a tragedy and a disaster, the last thing that we want to do is tell them that they have to come up with more funds when they're already trying to repair their homes. They've already gone through all kinds of economic loss. So Camp Courage is different in the sense that we want this to be a free resource to those LCMS congregations so that it's a complete blessing and a complete help to them. And we don't have to then ask more of them after they've gone through a tragedy already.
So the curriculum is being made available to congregations that are in communities that have been affected by disaster, and obviously the support of our friends in LCMS Disaster Response encouragement for those congregations. Anything else that they need to know about Camp Courage or what they need to do in order to put on a Camp Courage VBS-style program this summer or this year?
Well, I think it's important to note that the actual resource, the curriculum itself, is going to be free to a congregation, and the cost that we're seeking to raise are those other burdens that go with that come with putting on a VBS in the first place. So the purchasing of the supplies and the materials, the art supplies, and then food for snacks for the children, and then to purchase a couple of little books that we're going to be providing for each of the children that come there. 120 Bible stories, I think, available from CPH, along with a copy of the Catechism and some of those things that we want to make available to each of the children who come. And I think for congregations who want to put it on, it's very much like putting on a regular VBS. You have teachers. Mm-hmm. You have somebody there who can help with the crafts and somebody there who can help with the food. So those kind of volunteers. And so the larger the congregation, of course, the quote-unquote production is a little bit larger. But for smaller congregations, it can be – so it's scalable depending on the size of the congregation and the number of children that are going to be present there for the camp itself. So it runs very much like a regular VBS, Vacation Bible School, although we recognize that some congregations who might be in a really hard-hit area may be challenged to try and put it on, and so we wanted to make it available, or at least accessible, to the sense that maybe a neighboring congregation from within the circuit could also come in and have some volunteers be willing to step in and take care of some of that. But Gail might be really able to talk a little bit more about some of the other things that it takes to actually put it on.
Right. You would need a staff, someone overall, to organize the entire thing, and then you would need someone on site. You would need teacher training, so teachers and volunteers would need to come and understand the curriculum and the dynamics of the whole program. And I agree that a congregation who is neighboring could come in to that area, or you could invite their children to your church. What a wonderful thing that would be to host for your neighboring congregation in your circuit. And I think it's exciting because the camp also uses the dynamics of media and taking pictures and things like that that will help celebrate on that last day all the things that are happening. And I'm excited that 120 Bible stories will be given to each child and marked and read and used over and over with other additional resources. I hope lots of people will help fund that. That would be exciting.
Leah, so in the past, we've kind of looked at different levels of giving on our pledges on We Raise. A pledge of 100, what would that help cover?
That would cover all of the expenses for one child to attend the event. And that would be such a blessing. There are other levels. Every gift matters. Mm-hmm. So for $4, all of the art supplies will be covered. And I don't think there's anybody that's gone through VBS that doesn't remember gluing macaroni on something and having a good time. It would be so exciting to give $4 and let some kids have that opportunity as well. $10 provides a hygiene kit for each attendee. And $20 covers all the lunches for the week, which that's pretty important.
Absolutely. So weraise.wheatridge.org. You can look for Camp Courage, LCMS Camp Courage on the We Raise website. That's hard to say. You can find LCMS Camp Courage on there, find out more about it and how you can support it. Very easy to do. 27 days left to do that, though. So we want to do that right away.
It clock's ticking, but knowing the donors of the LCMS, I'm overwhelmed by what people do with the passion that they have and the love that they have for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing's impossible.
Pastor Johnson, how soon will the curriculum be available for Camp Courage?
Our goal is to have the first edition out in July 1st, and we want to kind of beta test that with the first couple of congregations, but then to really be able to go early next summer to have everything available, everything ready. So there's still going to be some slight little tweaks right now to the curriculum, and then starting early next year, we'll be able to give it out to all the congregations that have been affected by disaster throughout the United States and possibly even Canada.
WeRaise.WheatRidge.org. Look for LCMS Camp Courage. Thank you all for being my guest today and sharing about Camp Courage. This is exciting to be able to offer this great resource that we haven't had before to offer to congregations so that they can serve their community in an even greater way. My guest today, Gail Politz, educator and editor and the chief editor for Camp Courage Curriculum. Thanks so much for being my guest today. Leah Siva King, Admission Advancement for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much, Leah.
Thanks. It was fun returning.
And Pastor Michael Meyer, manager for LCMS Disaster Response. Thanks for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Pastor Ross Johnson, director of Disaster Response. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to continue our conversation, ways that we can serve. We're going to talk about young adults serving in Servant Events and talk with our friend Juliana Schultz from LCMS Office of National Mission. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. I was just thinking about the word extension and how that fits so well with our church body. We don't just hear the sermon, we are charged by the gospel and motivated to act upon it. We reach out a helping hand and use the gospel message to heal a broken world. Your investment with LCEF makes loans and services readily available to fulfill the Great Commission and extend God's kingdom. To learn more, visit lcef.org.
The majority of our support comes from individual listeners just like you. We appreciate you so much. However, a portion of our support is from underwriting partners. What is underwriting? Well, underwriting is when an organization, a church, or business makes a financial gift to KFUO in support of our broadcast ministry. As part of our underwriting partnership, KFUO gives the underwriters on-air announcements to spread the word and inform you, the listener, about their business or mission. Do you believe that KFUO and the worldwide proclamation of the gospel is worthy of your support? Do you have a business, organization, or ministry that could benefit from being a KFUO underwriter? If so, contact me, Gary Duncan, at 314-996-1511. Or email gifts@kfuo.org and let us know you would love to be a KFUO underwriter. We'll help you get your message out as you help us reach the world with the good news message of Christ. We are listener-supported, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Fun day in studio. I always love having live guests in studio. The phone is fun, but because we get to talk with such a diversity of people on the phone, but in studio is even more fun. With me in studio today, Juliana Schultz, Program Manager, Lutheran Young Adult Corps for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Did I get it right, Lutheran Young Adult Corps?
You did. Excellent. Thanks so much for having me.
And I even spelled your name right this time in my notes.
Did you? That's great. Because this will be the third time I've been on and the first time that you spelled my name right. So...
I misspell it all the time, but I'm not the only one. I think everybody, except for your own family, misspells it.
Yes, pretty much. I grew up saying it and then immediately just going into spelling it. I don't even wait for people to ask for the spelling anymore.
S-H-U-L-T-S.
It's Dutch, not German, just in case anyone was curious.
It's funny, you always feel obligated to explain that.
Especially in a very Lutheran German culture. They want to put a C and a Z in there. It's just not a thing.
We have a few other Dutch Lutherans.
Absolutely.
I think all two of them.
Right. One of them's in the studio.
I'm just teasing you, Juliana. I always enjoy talking with you. A fellow DCE as well, fellow
Absolutely.
Director of Christian Education. You went to that other school, though.
I went to Concordia Seward, the best school.
Concordia University, Nebraska.
Yes.
Which happens to be in Seward.
Yes.
Correct. Which is where my wife attended as well, a DCE student.
She's and a year ahead of me.
And you and I also crossed paths. You were on internship when we were both serving in Florida Georgia District,
yes,
I believe.
We were. Yeah,
many years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that you served also in the Chicagoland area, if I remember correctly.
I did. Yeah. So I served a congregation in Plant City, Florida for 4 years and then in Chicago for 7.
Where you also studied. I love this. I know we talked about this before, but tell me about what you studied while you were there, too, because you were working on a master's degree while you were serving in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah. So while I was serving, I also went back to school and studied at Loyola University's Institute of Pastoral Studies and I got a degree in social justice and community development. So the idea there, helping Christian congregations better understand how they can be a valuable part of their community and how God has gifted them in ways to share the gospel as a way to share the gospel in ways that benefit a community, help it to be healthy and sustainable.
I remember before you came, how long have you been here now? Has it been a year?
No, it's not been a year. It's been almost, I think, almost 9 months. Yeah, so we're getting close.
I remember before you came here, friends in the Office of National Mission were so excited. We have this new person. She's a DCE, and she's studying, and no one could ever remember what
no
it was that
remember.
You studied.
Right, but and it's a very long acronym, too. but really, I studied a lot of things like Christian community development and asset-based community development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that translates very well, I think, in my opinion, but you're probably you're better suited to answer this in the work that you're doing now for the Office of National Mission, working with young adults and the young adult volunteer, the young adult corps. We'll explain that a little bit in a little bit, but we've got some great events coming up this summer already.
Correct. Yeah, so we are really excited here in just 2.5 weeks. It's hard to believe it's almost here. That very first weekend of June, so it'll be June 2nd through the 5th.
That sounds right.
All of a sudden, I panicked, and I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah, so I believe the 2nd through the 5th, we're asking young adults to come and to serve here in the St. Louis area. We'll be utilizing some of our partners that we have at Lutheran Young Adult Corps here in the city, and serving in a couple of different locations here. One day we'll serve with Christian Friends of New Americans. That's the an LCMS registered service organization here in the city that works with immigrants and refugees. And we'll be helping them at the Peace Center. That's their location here in the city. And they will be doing a couple of things, just doing some general cleanup, helping them to get ready for the summer. We will be helping destroy some cement so they can put in a sump pump. They have a great basement that they use for their before and after.
You sound a little too excited about that because you said
I'm very excited about the destroying of cement. It's cathartic.
It wasn't even like breaking up cement. It was
destroy the cement. They have a fantastic basement. They use it every day for their after school care program. But it floods, and so they have somebody who has the professional wherewithal to do the installation of a sump pump, but he needs us to come and break up some cement to make that a possibility. So
you're bringing your sledgehammer.
I am bringing my sledgehammer. I'm going to be joining them. I think that sounds like fun.
Just don't forget to wear safety goggles.
Absolutely. We'll be very safe. But it's, you know, it's little things like that that make a huge difference for an organization that works off of donations, for them to have somebody who's willing to donate their time and their energy to install something, but just really physically needs the extra hands to be able to make that possibility. And so it allows them to take on this great donation of the improved sump pump that makes their building a lot more usable.
And what I found from, you know, good manual labor like that, if you're having trouble sleeping at night.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll
best sleep I've ever gotten when working really hard like that. Now, granted, at my age, probably have to also have like the icy hot or something like that for my sore muscles in order to sleep well.
You're gonna pre-ibuprofen, just like anticipate the pain with some ibuprofen before you even start.
I'd swing the sledgehammer like 2 times, then I'm done.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we'll see how long I last. I don't know. I might feel worse about it, but I think we're, it's neat that we're able to help that way. But it's, yeah, especially for young adults who just finished with finals, who have a lot of just energy and stress that they need to work off.
I never had energy after finals.
You were done.
I was exhausted. But with summer around the corner, yes, probably plenty of energy, ready to get outside and do something physical.
Right.
Physical labor.
They're done being in libraries and locked away in rooms working on papers. This is a very manual thing they'll get to do.
When you say young adults, who are we talking about? Who are young adults that could serve in this serving event this summer?
Yeah, so we're talking about students who are, we will take as young as kind of 17 if they're getting into their senior year, that kind of a thing. But really, we're focusing most of our energy on 18 to 26 year olds, all the way up to 30. If you get a little older than 30, we'll ask you to maybe bring along some young adult friends. but we really, we're very flexible with that number, especially with our short term events, because we really want to utilize as many people as we can to be able to do that.
So the dates again for this one coming up here in St. Louis, this is helping out with Christian Friends of New Americans. That's coming up in early June.
Right.
How do we find out about it? How do we register for it? Do we need to register for it?
You do. You need to register in the next week and a half. That way we can prepare, make sure we have food and t-shirts and places for you to stay. So you can do that by either going to our Facebook page, just typing in LCMS Young Adult Ministry, and you'll be able to see it there. You'll also be able to go, if you go to lcms.org/youth and click on the event right there on that first page, or if you click on Young Adult Ministry, it should be at the top of that page as well. And you'll be able to get all the information you need and the paperwork to sign in. You can even do it online and send it in to us so that we know that you're coming.
Look at that. I found it.
There you go.
Just in a few seconds.
Just that easy.
June 2nd through June 5th, and that's here in St. Louis. You are right. See, that's what happens when we don't have our screens in front of us all the time.
I know. And I was so confident. And then all of a sudden it was, I second-guessed myself. But yes, the 2nd through the 5th. So it's a Thursday night all the way to a Sunday afternoon. And we did that a lot because we feel like young adults, lots of them have summer jobs, and this allows them to come and participate mm-hmm. with only having to take really one day off of work. So the 2nd, they're really only starting in the evening and will be done by noon on the 5th.
How much of an opportunity will they have to get to see what happens at Christian Friends of New Americans? I mean, yes, breaking up concrete is important, but will they get a chance to see what goes on at CFNA?
Absolutely. So they'll have some time to meet with some of the leadership. CFNA is going to do some recruitment of their own, so they'll have some of their people and their partners there mm-hmm. to help out. And then that evening, we're going to cook a Nepalese meal together. So we're very excited about cooking that meal together and hearing about some of the stories of our immigrants and refugees that are here in the St. Louis area.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
I know I get to talk with Pastor Stanish Stanley from Christian Friends of New Americans mm-hmm. and Pastor Matt Clark here on KFUO, who's at Ascension. I know that's where a lot of mm-hmm. A lot of the new friends, our new Americans are from Nepal.
Yeah.
So how neat.
It's a really neat, it's a great ministry, and it's a really neat group of people to get to know and to hear their stories. I mean, mm-hmm. they have just a real diverse group of stories that really helps you appreciate, the ability that we have to be here in this country.
So if you're coming to the St. Louis area from outside of St. Louis, you mentioned having a place to stay.
Correct. So we're going to be staying at St. Trinity. That's in South St. Louis. And we'll be actually working with them on Saturday. Our primary work will be with them, working in their facilities. They have a big summer camp that they give to their community. And so we're going to help them kind of prepare and get ready for the influx mm-hmm. of grade school kids that are going to be on their campus. And that's a fantastic way for them to reach their community. So we'll be staying at their place. They have air mattresses and all the facilities to host us. So we're really excited to be working with them as well.
Extreme Faith, is that the
Extreme Faith, yeah. Extreme Faith is the organization that kind of works... it's a symbiotic relationship, as they would say, with St. Trinity. And they're run by Kevin Minnell. He's been working with that and bringing in mission trips and working with the community for many years now. Has really developed a fantastic relationship with the community and with the families there, and uses it in fantastic ways to reach out there to a community that could use some extra resources.
So the young adult servant event coming up this summer is just one opportunity to serve.
Yes.
Now, there are other opportunities. Should we talk about the gathering?
Sure. So we have, I don't know what the final number is, but we have more young adult volunteers coming to the gathering than I think Krista was prepared to house. So that's always a good thing. And we had over 900 apply to be young adult volunteers at the gathering. So that Orange Nation will be taking us by storm a couple of days ahead of time as they get ready to train. And mm-hmm. I'll be serving early in the day all the way till late at night throughout the gathering.
Wow. Well, that'll be fun. I will we'll be there broadcasting. We're planning on broadcasting
Fantastic.
From the gathering. We'll be interviewing on site, so we'll have to catch you and some of those young adults, some of the Orange Nation, and
Orange
hear
Nation.
From you all what's going on at the LCMS Youth Gathering. I know you'll be very busy from sunup to well past sundown.
But in the very best of ways.
That's right.
Don't say it too loud to the team upstairs, but with the two months until the gathering.
I know, it's kind of fun to walk through youth ministry on the 4th floor here at the International Center just 2 months before the National Youth Gathering.
It's a long ways away, Mark, I promise.
Everybody's so calm right now. I know it's a big event.
It is a big event, and they are very prepared, and there is so many amazing things that are going to happen there. And just young adults there are going to be a huge blessing, just to allow a lot of things to run very smoothly, and for them to be there and to be willing to, I mean, really to pay to come down and to volunteer their time and energy together. It's an amazing thing to see.
It's Very good. So there will be servant events at the National Youth Gathering. Yep. Young adults will be helping out in various ways, and large Orange Nation this time around, ready to help. And then Lutheran Young Adult Corps.
Well, and I'm going to say one more servant event for young adults. Well, there's many. So, you know, if you can't join us in St. Louis, there are lots of LCMS servant events that are that will take young adults. Mm-hmm. They don't just stop at high schoolers. So you can go on lcms.org/youth and look at servant events. There's a way to sort to have just young adult events come up. So if you're a young adult and want to serve, can't be here in June, take a look at that. And also in connection to the LCMSU conference, in January, we're going to offer at least one, maybe two servant events not far from there with our partners and the days following the LCMSU conference.
LCMSU. Thank you, Pastor Zill.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Excited. He's setting up a phenomenal conference, and I think it'll be great. But we are going to really excited to tie in Philly and maybe even some of our Boston partners and offer a couple of days of servant event for them after that event as well. So there'll be more information about that coming out as you get ready to register.
That's in January, right?
January.
Liberty is the name of the conference. That's in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
So you're going to do some servant events in January?
Yeah. We're going to put you on a train. We're going to send you to there, and we're going to make you work in the snow. No, they'll be great. we're looking at what those are possibly going to
awesome.
Be, but we're really excited to showcase some of the partners we're going to have with Lutheran Young Adult Corps.
And do those over winter break, Christmas break.
Yeah.
That's great. Very good. Well, okay, so now we can talk a little bit about Lutheran Young Adult Corps.
Absolutely.
Launching in 2017, is that right?
Yep, in June of 2017.
What is the overall concept of Lutheran Young Adult Corps? I know we've talked a little bit about it before.
Yeah, Lutheran Young Adult Corps is a full-time service opportunity for young adults to serve for a longer duration of time. You know, LCMS has offered servant events that are about a week long for 30 or more years. But really, we identified a need for young adults to be able to serve for more than a week, for 10 weeks in the summer or for 10 months through a school year is kind of a gap year experience. And so what we're doing is setting up an opportunity for them to serve in communities of need together with other young adults for that longer duration of time.
What kinds of things would you do on 10 months with Lutheran Young Adult Corps?
Yeah, so you could do a lot of different things. I mean, our partners have identified a lot of different needs, things like working with immigrant and refugee populations, like with Christian Friends of New Americans, before and after school care programs, especially in locations where maybe parents are working, both parents are working, and students really have a need for good before and after school care programs that are Christ-centered, working just in neighborhoods to help congregations better understand and connect with the people in their neighborhood to share the gospel, and a lot of campus ministries. So looking at using young adults to really get onto campuses and help them to talk about the gospel and to kind of point them back to the local congregations there. So it's going to be a variety of different things, even working with people with developmental disabilities, like with Bethesda. So it just kind of depends on the partners at the place.
Do we have any idea of locations yet? Did you mention that yet?
We do. Right now, we're tentatively still talking about St. Louis, Philly, Boston, and New Orleans. So we'll have four locations, and we'll be able to accept 6 to 8 in every spot. So it'll be, a great launch. We're really excited about being able to offer that for that many young adults.
You are going to be busy.
Yes. So while everyone else on my team is gearing down after the gathering, I will be gearing up.
Traveling to Philly, Boston, and
St. Louis and New Orleans.
Four cities.
Yeah.
Wow.
Four cities. I think it'll be a really fantastic thing. Each one of those has a really unique identity, has a really unique set of needs that have been identified. And those needs are not identified by us here in St. Louis. Those are by the people on the ground who are working there, the churches and the church workers in the area who have said, this is how we think we want to use the young adults. And so we're just kind of providing them as a resource and giving them that opportunity to be supported and to learn and to grow.
I assume applications for that will open up later on this year?
In October. So you can find out more information if you go to lcms.org/YACORPS, C-O-R-P-S. And then you can...
Yeah, core.
Yeah, core.
With a P-S.
Sure. And you can get more information there, and that's where applications will open in October.
Very good. Will you be talking about this at National Youth Gathering?
I will be. So I'll be able to, I'm leaning some sessions on it. We'll be at the youth booth talking about it, have all sorts of publicity pieces that we'll give out. So we're excited to be kind of launching it and talking more about what that looks like at the gathering, and then kind of gearing into the application being open in October.
At the youth booth.
At the youth booth.
It's a National Youth Gathering. Isn't every booth a youth booth?
Sort of. The youth booth is the particular area where we highlight what LCMS youth ministry does that's not the gathering. Because believe it or not, we do lots of things that are not the gathering as well.
Very good. The youth booth at the National Youth Gathering. Come find Juliana when she's not running around.
Absolutely. And if I'm not there, Kevin Minnell from Extreme Faith will be there to talk to you about it as well.
Very good. Very good. We'll have to pull you aside, hopefully, and talk a little bit at the National Youth Gathering while we're there. I'm trying to figure out. It's probably going to be very noisy in that space. You're going to have to get some really good headphones.
Truly, what space at the gathering isn't noisy?
Right. Exactly.
It's a lot of people in a little space.
I even maybe have heard something about some noisy socks. Well, noisy colored socks. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's not my department.
I know.
I'm not.
But I'm excited.
Is this why you bring me on? Because I am the newest member of my team.
Exactly.
And occasionally I know things that I'm not supposed to tell people about, but I don't know what I'm not supposed to tell people about. Is this a play to get information? I'm not telling you the colors of t-shirts or I don't know. What else I'm not supposed to tell you?
Some neat colors. You see some New Orleans colors in a lot of the stuff this year, a lot of the gear this year.
Yeah, I know. Our department did an amazing job with all of our designs.
Absolutely. Well, it's been fun talking, Juliana. And for folks to find out more about young adults, young adult volunteers, or young adult servant events, young adult core, really lcms.org/youth, you can it'll get you to a lot of those as well.
To get you to all of those things, absolutely.
And to your smiling picture on there somewhere, I bet.
I'm sure somewhere. I think.
Oh goodness. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you today, Juliana. Thanks for coming down and spending some time with me here on Faith and Family.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Juliana Schultz, S-H-U-L-T-S. Yeah, I got it right this time. And she's program manager for Lutheran Young Adult Corps and the LCMS Office of National Mission. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.